welcome to the Hearth and Hedge podcast. My name is Amberly, and I'm so pleased to have you with me today. When I was a little girl, we lived in the juniper forest in the Sandia Mountains of New Mexico. So at night, it was pitch black when the lights were out. I didn't have a nightlight, and I remember laying there in bed sometimes when I was scared with my eyes wide open, debating if I wanted to call out to my dad and let the monsters know where I was, or if I wanted to continue to lay there in terror. In the end, eventually the desire for comfort would win out and I would call my dad, but it was always a struggle. He always came running. I remember he injured himself once. He ran into my mom's drafting table. But I would immediately feel better when he came because I knew when my dad was there, nothing could harm me. In today's episode, I want to talk about fear in children and how we can help. This episode is for parents, aunts, uncles, older siblings, teachers, babysitters, or even family friends who care for children. I will be saying parents a lot, but just please know that I'm addressing this to everybody. So being a parent comes with a ton of responsibilities, we know that, but one of them is allaying childhood fears. And sometimes these fears are tangible, in which case we have to help the children deal with them in the real world, but sometimes they're more metaphysical or intangible in nature, and we have to get creative. Young children have very different fears than those of older children and teens. There are many things we can do as parents to help with fears, understanding and support being the most important. Sometimes our approach should be mundane, but sometimes a little magic can go a long way. Realistically, parents can't always be there for their children when they're scared, and in truth, children need to have times when they feel uncomfortable in order for them to learn self-regulation. Being afraid is very normal, it's a normal, healthy, and very important part of growing up. But that being said, we don't want kids to feel alone, and sometimes stepping in can be just as important. It isn't always easy to know what a child fears, especially in young children who can't vocalize their thoughts and feelings well. So it's important to be patient and help them try and communicate their fears to you. Asking questions can help figure out their fear. For instance, if a child is afraid of dogs, you can say, what is it about dogs that scares you? Did a dog run into you and knock you over? Is there a particular dog that you're afraid of, or is it all dogs? So just finding out the actual source of the fear can help you figure out how to fix the problem. But some common fears, according to Stanford Medicine, which means they're right, but they are, in babies and young children, infants ages 5 to 12 months old are afraid of objects coming toward them and sudden noises, of course, you know. They're also wary of strangers, but that does depend on their family and how much they're around other people. Just like, I mean, socialization is very important in humans and puppies. Toddlers' fears center on their relationships with their parents and fears of being left alone. They'll go off to play alone, but will constantly check back with the parent because they're starting to recognize their vulnerability. For ages 3 and 4, there is the fear of animals, snakes, the dark, monsters. At this age, they can't always separate what's real and what's fantasy in their minds, and so if they have a dream about something, to them, that is a very real thing. For most children, around age 5, there is a significant drop in fears, but it picks up again around age 6 when their fears are in terms of self-concept, when they start worrying about passing a test, or will other children like them in school? Those fears continue throughout high school in my experience as a parent and as a human being. Around age 7, fears grow out of ideas suggested by the television and movies and what children are exposed to. Performance in school, dark spaces. At ages 8 and 9, school or personal failure, ridicule by peers, and disease, very real threat, we know, are also common fears. Around 10 to 12, children fear heights, criminals, older kids, angry parents, and the remote possibility of catastrophe and school failure. I mean, school failure isn't really a remote possibility, but catastrophe kind of is. Older children, like older teens, I'm sorry, tend to express fear about changes in their bodies, obviously. Isolation, sex. Sex is a very real fear when you're older, and world events. So as your children start watching the news and seeing what's actually happening, they can express fears. I know that my son expresses fears to me a lot about Russia and, you know, just the political climate. So a lot of those fears I don't know how to fix. But allowing him to discuss it and voice his fears, I think, is helpful. We're all in a state of the unknown right now, with everything going on. I mean, I guess we are always in a state of unknowing, but the future seems a little more scary right now. So discussing that with your older children is a great idea, for you and for them. So once you find a fear, in your child, once you figure out what their fear is, it's important to acknowledge it. Wow, that must have been really scary. Or I know that a lot of kids are afraid of that. Or I used to be afraid of that too. But after you acknowledge it, it's time to move on to mitigation. This can be done in many ways, and some of which might include checking under beds and in closets. I think this should be done together if the child is willing, so that they can see that nothing is there. But if they're not at that point yet, that's totally okay as well. If they're able to help you with a monster check, maybe at some point they can do it themselves. Night lights obviously help as well. I know that a lot of parents think that night lights shouldn't be necessary. My mother wouldn't let me have one after a certain age, but I find them completely practical. You won't trip over the unseen dog toy on the way to the bathroom if there is a nightlight in the room. Ask me how I know. So when my son was at the monster fears stage, we did the normal checking for monsters. We had a nightlight, but nothing really seemed to help. One day I decided to make him a magic blanket. I've posted it on Instagram. I made it with all my scraps of yarn. It was just a simple granny style blanket, three double crochet over and over and over. But I told him what I was doing, and he watched me make it. I put my intention into the blanket, and I even went as far as asking my fellow crocheters to share their scraps with me so they could add their anti-monster intentions to it as well. After I finished the blanket, we never had monsters visit again. He was never afraid of them again, which is great. And now my son has a blanket that he can keep forever, and that is just something really special, I think. He can give it to his children when they have monsters in the future, if he has children. Another thing that happened recently in my family is I had a young relative who was taught about Bloody Mary by his friends. I remember when my friends taught me about Bloody Mary, I was scared. I was afraid to go to the bathroom for months. You can't carry a blanket with you to the toilet. And also, bathrooms are everywhere, so you can't just fix one bathroom. All the bathrooms have to be considered safe. So I think in this situation, while you can do something in your personal bathroom at home, a wearable ward, a necklace, for instance, or an amulet that can be kept in their pocket would be a really great way to go. That way they have the feeling of protection with them wherever. As kids get older, fears are very different and much more real. Being afraid of peers, bad grades, like I said, the current political climate. I'm almost 40, and the state of the world is actually terrifying to me when I really sit down and think about it. But in these situations, the real help is to talk about it, as I said before. So talking to your children about what they fear, let them know their feelings are valid, and helping them think of ways to cope is great. Sometimes therapy is what is needed. An outside perspective is what older teens might need because, you know, of course, their parents don't know anything. I find it funny how we go from being the smartest, prettiest, most amazing people in the world to the dumbest, ugliest, and most annoying. It's like we're reverse butterflies or something. So now, all these things being said, I am going to share a ritual from The Magical Family by Monica Grossen, who I am also in negotiations trying to get onto the podcast. We'll see how that works. Fingers crossed. But this ritual is called the Labyrinth of Empowerment Ritual. It says, a labyrinth represents the sacred journey to the center of one's own soul. These circular wanderings have designated a sacred space since prehistoric times and have been found in every culture. The first thing that comes to most people's mind when they hear the word labyrinth, I mean besides David Bowie, is the Greek myth of Theseus and the Minotaur. The tragic tale of an Athenian prince who takes on the man-eating Minotaur in the heart of his labyrinth home. But the labyrinth has been used as a tool for meditation, prayer, and transition by people of all faiths for thousands of years. There's no wrong way to walk the labyrinth, reminding us that in life, it's not the destination that's important, but it's the journey. This labyrinth empowerment ritual is for releasing fear and designed to be done as a family. You will need smooth stones, washable marking pens, a bag of flour for drawing your labyrinth, 1 cup, responsibly gathered twigs, leaves, rocks, shells, etc. These are optional. A fireproof tray or stone, 1 black candle for wisdom of the crone, and things that symbolize the crone, decorative owl, black cat, black stones, cauldron, or a raven, etc. Before the ritual, each family member will gather a few stones and use the washable markers to decorate them with words and symbols that express the fears they would like to release. In a yard or field, use your cup to sprinkle flour to trace out a large spiral. Remember to make it wide enough to walk with your family in a single file. Also remember to make the center large enough to place your tray and still have enough room for the family to gather around it. Gathered leaves, twigs, cones, shells, and other natural objects can be used to go over the flower lines, but are not necessary. Set up the tray or stone in the center of the labyrinth with your black candle and symbols of the crone. Ground and center before entering the labyrinth. As you walk through, symbolically release your fears and burdens by tossing the stones you had previously decorated on the path. Once everyone has reached the center, have an adult light the black candle and say, Dark Mother, it is of your wisdom we do inquire. As we journey this labyrinth, help us to inspire, release our fears and all that binds as we circle through our true, strong selves to find. Blessed be. Leave the candle to burn out safely and begin your journey out of the labyrinth, empowered with knowledge that you are not only strong, fearless individuals, but invincible as a family. Y'all, I can't with this book. I love it so, so much. It's just wonderful. I wish I had come up, I wish I had come upon it when my children were younger, especially my son, because maybe he wouldn't be quite so atheist. Not that I care that he's atheist, but maybe he wouldn't think I'm such a weirdo. Well, I mean, he's 14, so I guess I'm just going to be a weirdo anyway. For today's card pull, I've pulled from The White Light Oracle by Alana Fairchild. This is my newest deck. I just bought it at a little shop in Pennsylvania last weekend. It is just stunning. And the book is very in-depth. There's an initial quick lesson for each of the cards, and then at least two pages explaining the card more in-depth. And finally, there is a small prayer or ritual associated with the card. Today I'm going to share the little quick lesson and the prayer. I pulled the card before I started, so here we go. I pulled Theta of Venus. Attune yourself to higher consciousness by choosing to access the purest frequencies of love within. Acknowledge lower frequencies such as judgment, fear, doubt, or shame when they arise within or around you, but do not give them a foothold in your heart. You are ready for higher understanding, to see things in a new and more positive light. Allow your inner knowing to guide you on a unique, beautiful, and highly spiritual life path. I mean, could it get more perfect for today's episode? And now the healing prayer. I call upon the spiritual guidance, which loves me unconditionally, and the higher guiding angels of Venus and Theta, that I may experience through grace, mercy, and compassion that which is most beneficial to my well-being for the greatest spiritual good of all sentient beings. This deck is so beautiful, you guys. It's all tones of white and cream. And on this particular card is a beautiful lady laying down. Her arms are crossed. She's looking very peaceful, and she's sleeping. But she looks like she's sleeping without fear. It's just absolutely a beautiful, beautiful deck. Just so gorgeous. I will link it in on our resources page, as usual. So, now before we go, I have a few announcements. Some interviews I have coming up are Summer of Highly Creative Native. We'll be talking about her amazing beadwork. I had her do a custom piece, and I cried. I cried when I opened it. I mean, in a good way. It was amazing, and I'll tell you guys about that on that episode. I'm also very excited to announce that I will be interviewing artist and creator MJ Cullinane, who is the mastermind behind four of my favorite decks, including the one I'm always talking about, the Roar Oracle. And I'm working on something very special in conjunction with Tabitha of Two Geminis and a Leo. That will be announced on the episode where I interview her. So look forward to that. I'm also in discussion with Penguin Publishing about an interview with award-winning author Juno Dawson. So help me manifest that, please. And there are much more exciting things coming up in the future, but that's all I have for now. And I will see you next time. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook at The Hearth and Hedge, on my website, thehearthandhedge.com, or you can email me at thehearthandhedge@gmail.com. I also have a Patreon at patreon.com/thehearthandhedge. If you like what you hear, consider leaving a review wherever you find your podcasts.